Artists. Each week, we will be breaking down a different production, whether it's a movie, TV show, whatever we're feeling like. And this week, we watched Spirit Stallion of the... Is it Cimarron?
Cimarron.
Okay. Bam, bam, My name is Danielle, and here are the mad artists that I have with me to help break this down today.
Oh my god. Whistle one more time.
Samuel has been driving Tyler crazy by whistling the theme for this.
We're sitting here playing chess. And he's and instead of playing his piece, he's just and then he starts off strong and then he goes
It's called strategy.
Yeah.
But I lost, so it didn't work out too well.
Oh.
It's Samuel, everyone.
Hey, I'm Nathan Fillion, the guy that they used to model the horse face after.
Oh my
which
God.
Is not to, which is not that. To say he had a horse face, but the horse looks like Nathan Fillion. Also, I'm Tyler. What's up?
Hey, everybody. It's John.
So, oh my God.
Kill me to
wow.
death.
Sorry.
Wow. I know.
We're very professional here on this show.
You traitor.
Oh, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. So, first impressions. I know me and Sam have been watching this movie since we were, like, little kids.
I cannot remember the first time I saw this movie. What I can say is that my biggest memory associated with it is my sister took writing lessons for several years.
Yeah.
And...
Which one?
Writing Karis. Or Karis. Writing?
Riding.
Riding.
You guys can't see the hand motions I'm doing, but it's like I'm riding a horse. Or really poorly playing the drums.
So, yeah, she took... horse riding lessons for years, and I would always go, you know, because I was the youngest and all, so I would go with her and mom to the stables, and they had a little, like, break room for the younger siblings or whatever to go sit while the older siblings were doing the lessons, and they had Spirit playing on a loop.
Oh, that's so cool.
It never stopped.
I'm here for it.
Once you reach the end, it restarted. So I have seen this movie so many times, I can't even begin to say how many times
that's
I've seen
so
it.
Awesome.
Probably over 24.
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
Wow.
I just like to imagine it's not an actual copy of Spirit. Someone burned just like a 4-hour, like a 12-hour version on a CD. On a CD for them to use.
John, when did you first watch this movie, or do you remember?
Similar to Samuel, I can't really pinpoint the first time I saw it. I remember bits and pieces of this movie. I remember the stable scene a lot, and just the multiple running scenes. I couldn't tell you which one, because there's too many.
I mean, they're horses. That's kind of like
what they do.
Well, listen, that's their whole thing.
That's their whole thing. I'm similar to you guys. I don't remember the exact first time, but this was on like my regular rotation as a kid as far as like what I would watch. It was like this, Catch That Kid with Kristen Stewart and Corbin Bleu, Return of the Jedi, and Happy Feet. And I just like rotated between those four movies and Harry Potter whenever mom would let me watch it. So we would just like, you know, rotate between. So this was, I mean, at least 24 times, probably more, because I've watched movies obsessively as a kid. And I mean, I just got so excited watching this movie all the time. Like anytime he was just like, you know, tearing across and like, you know, attacking the mountain lion in the beginning, it just like, ugh, I loved it. It was great. And we all know when Tyler's first time watching this movie was.
Yeah, I've lied to you. It was when I was a small boy. No. So my first time watching Spirit was last night. And with all of them. And it was really interesting because going into it, there was a lot of hype surrounding this movie.
Yeah.
You guys. Every time you brought it up, we're like, this is God's gift to horse-based movies, and you're in for such a treat. And I had voiced my concerns that I'm not a big talking animal movie fan. I'm not even really, like, if I'm being entirely honest, to kind of overplay my hand, I'm not a big animal movie fan.
Really?
But I was told...
You're such a little druid, though. I feel like you would be.
Yeah. No. there's actually a whole thing about that we'll get after the podcast. But
okay.
But yeah, I'm not a big animal movie fan, and so this movie was sold to me on the premise that this is actually a lot less about animals, and it's just a framing device for some grandiose thing that's happening
Well, he said the animals didn't talk.
That is what you said. You specifically said the animals serve as a framing device for what was going on during the Manifest Destiny.
Well, yeah, because it's an allegory.
Right.
Yeah.
I get
Which
that.
Is accurate.
No, it is, But you got defensive, and then you're just like, no, yeah, that is what I said.
Yeah, I got defensive when you were all like, oh, the animals aren't really that important. I was like, I never said that.
So, in conclusion, all of that being said... definitely wasn't my favorite.
I mean, I knew that was going to be the case. I knew this wasn't going to be your favorite.
They thought it was going to be my favorite movie. they were just like, oh, Tyler, we've actually never seen a movie more up your alley than this talking horse movie. And
in which horses never talk.
Which in which the horses never talk, which is why they got a voice actor to play the main character horse in Matt Damon. It was an interesting experience. It wasn't bad by any stretch of the imagination. I would even go as far as to say it is a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't get a whole lot from it. I didn't grow up with it.
And I think that's the big
If
thing.
I did, 1,000%, this would probably be one of my favorites. Yeah. I just didn't. It's the same thing with Lion King. I didn't grow up with Lion King. I didn't watch Lion King until I was... and a young adult.
See, now that's just blasphemy.
So I read a review when I was sifting through these reviews earlier. You hadn't gotten here yet, but I read a little review to them that I had to really dig through the negative reviews to try to find some that weren't just like two word like bad movie or the disc was scratched, or the fun third one, which was, why are you showing my kids that white people are bad?
And God.
Like, that was most of the negative reviews, and I was just like, I gotta find something that actually works. So the one I grabbed still has like a hair of that, but like, it's not as bad. But one of the people who like had a negative review at one point was like, you know, this isn't quite as bad as The Lion King, but like, it's pretty bad. And I was just like, what? So as soon as you said that, I was like, did Tyler write that review?
Like, no, and the God's honest truth is, in like, with no uncertain terms, the movie is a good movie.
Yeah.
Right? 100%, the movie is good. I love the framing. We were making jokes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really appreciate what they were doing with the whole Native Americans and Americans.
The settlers. Yeah.
Right, the settlers is a better word for it. I love how they, you know, it was the rising and falling action was really good. You're invested in this horse. You're just like, just go home. Go home to your people. And it was how they handled the Native Americans, I thought was really good. The whole thing was good. It was a good experience. It's just, you know, you have these long sweeping shots of the horses running majestically through the fields. And I'm just like, there they go. Horses running. And if you're a kid seeing that for the first time, like, there's a lot of power to it, especially if you see it on the big screen. The big horses running on the big sweep. You're like, oh my God, horses. And then the eagle's there too. Holy shoot. The kid's freaking out. It's just, for me, maybe I'm just really cynical. I just look at it and I'm like, great.
Well, and like we've said before, you know, not every movie has to be for everybody.
Right.
Except for this one. You're no longer my friend.
Except for this one. You have to leave our house and the company and our
lives.
I'm
sorry, I didn't like your horse movie, Samuel.
Well, this one came out in 2002. It was directed by Kelly Asbury and Lorna Cook and written by John Fusco and Michael Lucker. And it stars Matt Damon as the voice of Spirit and Daniel, I think it's Studi, as the voice of Little Creek.
The voice... Spirit.
The voice of Spirit. You can watch this with a Peacock subscription, or you can buy or rent it on Vudu, Apple TV, YouTube, Prime Video, or Google Play. And the IMDb summary for this says, a wild stallion is captured by humans and slowly loses the will to resist training. Yet throughout his struggles for freedom, the stallion refuses to let go of the hope of one day returning home to his herd. Samuel.
Alrighty, so our directors, both Kelly Asbury and Lorna Cook, this was their directorial debut. Kelly Asbury went on to direct a couple of mainstream movies. He was one of the directors on Shrek 2.
Okay.
He directed Gnomeo and Juliet and Smurfs The Lost Village.
Oh my God, knock it out of the park.
Gnomeo and Juliet.
Shrek 2 is definitely Shrek 2 is definitely the best out of that. I mean, we're also talking 100%. To the guy who watched Trolls 2 and like was like, "Oh, okay, this is kind of good." So, you know.
Lorna Cook never directed another film.
Really?
I say never, has not yet directed another film.
There's still time.
However, she I assume. Lorna, I assume.
Lorna sounds like a woman's name, but I have no clue.
She worked on the art department and on several different films, including The Prince of Egypt, The Lion King, Beauty and the Beast.
Wow.
And was actually credited as a story writer on both Lion King and Mulan.
Wow, good for her. That's really awesome.
Small side tangent that both you, well, all three of you are going to be mad at. I haven't seen Prince of Egypt either.
That's such
a I've seen it once a long time ago.
It's just so good. Yeah. The music is killer.
I've heard
movie.
Songs from it, and because my buddy was trying to get me to show it, so he was showing me all these videos about it.
Yeah.
But then we didn't watch it. And I'm like, outstanding. So I know plenty about it. Yeah. And the music does slap.
And to be fair, the reason all three of us probably grew up with it is because we grew up in Christian homes. And yeah, so, like, facts. That was another big thing. But Samuel, seriously. You unprofessional piece of garbage.
It is now on silent.
Hell hath no fury.
Like me when a phone goes off when I'm recording.
Anyways, our writer, I only had one writer on this, so.
Well, Michael Lucker wasn't technically the screenwriter, but he was credited as a writer, so I just included him.
Okay, all right.
So.
John Fusco, or however you say his name, hasn't written that many films. Sorry, I'm having a stroke over here. He wrote the film Crossroads. He wrote Young Guns 1 and 2. He wrote another one of my favorite films, another horse movie, Hidalgo.
I haven't seen that one
with Viggo Mortensen. I might put it in the hat.
Yeah, because he's been wanting me to watch it forever.
I adore that movie. It's not animated. It's actually like an action-adventure starring the guy who played Aragorn in Lord of the Rings. It's really good.
Starring horses?
So it is about a man and his horse, but it's not.
That's like literally how he pitched Spirit. I said, is it a horse movie? He goes, okay, are horses in it? Yeah. But like, it's really,
That's so what we're not hearing is that while Tyler reality. Has his horse method that has been tried and true through all these different episodes, he does not like horse movies.
I don't like horses.
You don't like horses?
I think they're cool, but like, I don't like, I don't know. I never grew up with horses. I
have you ever ridden a horse?
No.
Bro.
Not
that
once.
That explains it. I mean, you haven't ridden a horse either, but.
If I did, I'm sure it would be a magical experience. I have this relationship with animals in general where I love them deeply, but they do not reciprocate that love. I have been attacked by random birds on multiple occasions. Every attempt that I've had to commune with a wild animal has ended in disaster, and I anticipate working with horses to be no different.
Anyways,
we'll have to see. I'm gonna make like a bunch of people go, except for Russell, to do like a trail riding thing that's super easy, just to like, cause he's never ridden a horse either. But anyway, continue.
Outstanding.
Anyways, John Fusco's latest project was as the showrunner of the show Marco Polo on Netflix, which was actually decent. I watched a little bit of it. Not bad.
I've never seen it.
And yeah, so none of these people are really, you know, they've all made a career out of show business, but none of them have really made
it. So you know what that explains to me? So when I was looking at the budget, I was like, for 2002, this is actually a decent sized budget. You know what that tells me? Since all these people were nobodies, all of that money went to getting Matt Damon. Every single bit of that money went to Matt Damon.
That and the animation department.
Yeah, well, and the animation, yeah, for sure. But I looked at it and I was looking at the thing and I was like, this isn't necessarily a low budget for 2002 at all. This is actually a decent budget. And then I was like, well, Matt Damon.
Yeah,
if Matt Damon's in it, it's gonna be higher budget. But yeah, do y'all have any sort of overarching things before we dive into this plot summary here?
Coming back to it, as many films from this era, the animation can be a little bit rough. There were times where the mix of computer and hand-drawn was a little iffy. Some of the computer animation was, some of the mixing in was pretty good. Sometimes it was kind of clunky. Definitely, you watch it and you know it's from the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, it's very clear.
One of the things that really stood out to me is how they were able to get the horses to communicate with each other without speaking.
Oh, like, I loved that.
So the meme for
Wait,
everyone...
the horses don't speak?
I know. I was filling everyone in. The meme is that I'm like, I don't want to watch your talking horse movie. And they're like, the horses don't talk. And then I'm making fun of them for Matt Damon's voice of the horse. Anywho. No, like the facial expressions that they do is just very expressive. Like, you know, like the horses don't say anything except for when they speak. It's really, really cool.
And the vocalizations of the horses are also super expressive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Like, you can tell, like, when Spirit climbs on the cliff and is just, like neighing aggressively to the horses. He's like, run, get out of here. And they're just like, huh? And he's like, you have to leave, like, right now. Mm-hmm. And, like, all of that was conveyed. The mom's expression when she sees and interacts mm-hmm. with Spirit. It's just the whole thing was very, like, very palatable, and not a lot of it, if any of it, got lost, which I thought was really cool.
Which, I mean, says a lot to the animation and, I mean, Kelly Asbury and Lorna Cook, that they were mm-hmm. so specific about, like, we don't need to obviously have a super crazy intricate conversation between mm-hmm. these horses. But even, like, the little, I guess, mini quote-unquote conversation, you know, with no words, where Spirit gets freed by Little Creek, he goes to Rain, and he's clearly trying to get Rain to come with him.
Yeah.
And you can see that she's, like super torn and, like, not about it. And he's, like, trying to convince her to go. She's not really about it. And then the attack starts, so they don't get to finish their conversation. Mm. But you get all of that, even without, like... Because the conversation happens before Matt Damon even kind of comes in with his voice, with his little voiceover thing. So you get what is happening before any of that occurs, just because of the facial expressions, because of, like, her, like, body language of kind of, like, backing away. Everything is very, like, body language and just, like, very good animation in the face. Mm-hmm. Which I know y'all were joking about the eyeshadow on her. That was just the shadow of her eye. I watched it throughout the rest
of the
movie.
Others would call that eyeshadow.
No, like, it's
above
just like...
Above her eye? It was pink above her eyes.
It was.
Yes,
it was super
okay,
eyeshadow.
Maybe for one scene. For the rest of the movie, I watched it and it was totally just like
okay.
normal.
In the first scene that she's in, there was pink eyeshadow above her
definitely.
Eyes.
Definitely.
Straight up.
In that one scene, maybe. But in all the rest of the scenes, I kept watching for it and it wasn't there. It was just like the normal shadow, just like it was on his face. And I was like, okay, so maybe they were just trying to, like, make her look extra pretty at the beginning. I don't know. But I'm going to jump into this. So in the 19th century American West, a young Kyger Mustang colt, Spirit, is born to a herd of wild horses. Spirit grows into a stallion and assumes the leadership of the herd. One night, upon following a strange light near his herd, Spirit finds horses kept in chains and their wranglers sleeping around a campfire. They awake and, seeing him as a magnificent specimen, seize him, taking him to a U.S. cavalry fort. In captivity, Spirit encounters the Colonel, who orders the Mustang tamed. However, Spirit fends off all attempts to tame him. So to weaken Spirit, the Colonel orders him tied to a post for 3 days without food or water. That was always the point. So as a kid, me and Sam have talked about this. As kids, the best part of this movie was always the get off of my back scene, where he's just, like, bucking people off of him left and right.
No, that was a fun scene.
And that was always the best one. But as adults, we have come to recognize that actually the best song in the whole thing is You Can't Take Me.
Yeah.
When they're bringing him, and it's, like, the just, like, boom of thunder and the outline of them as they're, like, going across.
That was really pretty.
It's such a good shot.
I love how it's like, you can't take me as they're taking
as
him.
As they're taking him.
Eyeshadow, I suspect.
Yeah.
Yeah, was that in that scene? Yes, that is that scene.
You see the eyeshadow on her face.
Yeah, and I acknowledged it was there in that scene, but not for the rest of the movie. Yeah, like throughout the rest of the movie, it's all normal. I think they were just trying
to, like... Yeah, because
it's at sunset. Huh?
It's at sunset, and in normal lighting, she doesn't have it.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I'm trying to remember. Oh, no. So as a kid, there was a part that always, like, made my heart hurt. And it was always, like, as he's being taken away and the eagle comes down and, like, sees him all, like, tied up and everything. And, like, he can't help, so he just, like, flies away. And, like, that part as a kid, I was always like, no. Like, so sad.
It's his friend.
It's his friend. It always made me so sad. So watching it this time, I like, obviously, as an adult, you don't get hit as hard, but I was still just like, oh, man, that part always gets me for some reason.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, a Lakota Native American named Little Creek is also brought into the fort and held captive. Spirit is later supposedly tamed by the Colonel, who speaks his idea of how any wild horse can be tamed. Spirit gets a second wind, he's a fighter apparently, and finally throws him off. Humiliated, the Colonel attempts to shoot him before Little Creek, who frees himself from his bonds with a knife, saves Spirit from being shot as they escape from the post. So you were talking about Robin Hood physics. Where exactly were your Robin Hood physics in this movie? We were watching it last night, and you said, "You were like, I love the Robin Hood horse physics." And I'm like, "He isn't busting through wood." Like,
yes, he did multiple times.
No, he didn't. He jumped into the stable through the opening, and then he came out, and Little Creek shot the bolt and opened it.
Right.
Yeah.
But before that, he escaped because he just rammed into the wooden fence.
He escaped because he collapsed into it.
There's a difference between ramming
and falling. Here's what, and this is what I was saying with Robin Hood. Here's what y'all don't understand. Okay? A lot of walls made out of wood are not that sturdy.
Especially not back
And do
then.
Y'all know how much horses weigh?
Horses are so
Horses
heavy.
Literally weigh like a ton. Dare I say, a horse running full speed could burst through probably this wall.
I'm gonna let you in on a secret.
I don't actually care. Then stop talking about it.
It was a one-off joke in the middle of a movie about a talking horse. I wasn't trying to make this the hill I'm going to die on.
Well, here's the thing. Is even in Robin Hood, even in Robin Hood, when y'all talk about it so much, oh, those two horses bursting through that wooden wall, that's so stupid.
Well,
is
okay.
it, though?
Yeah, okay.
Is it?
The only thing is, with Robin Hood, yes, because the horse wouldn't run into a wooden wall.
Okay, yes. Yeah, the horse would not actively do it.
We said horse physics because the horses were crashing through the wood, and whether or not they can is irrelevant.
Yeah.
It's the fact that they're just like, charge into that wall, and they just bam, 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 running through these walls left and right.
Yes, the horses wouldn't, but they
could. The colloquial term for that, we're just going to call horse physics, even though it doesn't necessarily include the physics of horses.
Oh, Lord.
Samuel.
I also kind of like to imagine that Spirit is a little similar to R2-D2, and maybe all of this didn't happen quite as cool as he makes it out to be, and he's a little bit of an unreliable narrator, so, like, when he's, like, you know, like, bucking all these guys off and doing all this stuff,
It
was, like, one guy that he tossed and not, like, 20. I like to imagine, as an adult, maybe that was the case, but as a kid, of course, you want to imagine he just did all the cool stuff. So Little Creek's mayor, Rain, meets them along with other natives who promptly recapture Spirit. After returning to the Lakota village, Little Creek attempts to tame Spirit with kindness, but Spirit is unwilling. Little Creek ties Spirit and Rain together, hoping she can discipline him. Spirit falls in love with Rain in the process. I mean, what do you expect? You put a wild stallion with your, like, gorgeous mare? What do you expect to have happen? Like, I don't understand what he was thinking.
I think what he was thinking is that he wanted more well-bred stallions.
I mean, very possibly, yeah. So, Spirit falls in love with Rain. Meanwhile, a cavalry regiment led by the colonel attacks the village. During the battle, the colonel attempts to shoot Little Creek, but Spirit tackles the colonel and his horse, deflecting the shot. Rain is instead shot and thrown into a river. Spirit runs after Rain, but they both plummet over a waterfall. Spirit rescues Rain and stays by her side until the cavalry recaptures him. Little Creek then tends to Rain and vows to free Spirit. That was always like... I can't tell you how much as a kid I loved the absolute melodrama of that moment of her just laying on the water and them, like, trying to get to each other.
Yeah.
As a kid, I was like, I'm living for the animal melodrama. That's all I'm here for. Come on. No, I loved it so much. But Spirit is forced to work on the Transcontinental Railroad, where he is pulling a steam locomotive. Sensing that the track will infringe on his homeland, Spirit breaks free from the sledge and breaks the chains of other horses. They escape, and the locomotive falls off its wooden sledge and slams into another locomotive, causing an explosion that sets the forest ablaze.
Which, I will say, you know, we made jokes about the forest fire, but the physics of the train, like, rolling down the hill... I'm not a math doctor, but they looked really realistic.
Yeah, looks pretty good.
Like
the slow
lumbering,
slide,
and as it starts increasing, it's like bouncing a little bit because it's all that
it's
weight
so
and
heavy.
Pressure, and then it like cockeyes and then flips long ways over the like. I was like, wow,
it's actually pretty solid.
That was one of the standout scenes for me. That I was like, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good scene.
And even the two locomotives slamming together, like, with all the fuel that's in there, of course they would explode.
Although that
like,
was one of the scenes where the mix of computer animation and hand-drawn was a little rougher. than in some of the others.
A little bit, yeah. But the locomotive wasn't the most egregious one.
Yeah,
by
I would
any
say
means.
So.
The locomotive was rough, but not as bad as, like, the canyon in the first shot or, like, some of the water or, you know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely wasn't that bad. But that was always, as a kid, like, one of my favorite moments, specifically when the music swells and then there's the second explosion and he suddenly realizes, oh, boy. The forest is on fire now and has to just start running, which
sure
that was
hope
another
this
thing.
Doesn't become a problem.
That was another thing that a lot of parents in the negative reviews had issues with was they were like, why are we praising someone who's like, they called it a really offensive scene where they were like, we're celebrating that he's free, but he set a bunch of things on fire and a bunch of people are probably dead. And I'm like,
good. They were the bad guys.
I'm like, yeah, they were the bad guys. Yeah. He's the hero. Yeah. That's kind of what happens in every movie.
That's really silly.
It was pretty crazy. Hold on, I gotta find where I was. Yeah, okay, so they escape, and the locomotive falls off its wooden sledge, slams into another. Spirit is trapped when the chain around his neck snags on a fallen tree. Little Creek intervenes, and together they jump safely into a river. The next morning, the colonel and his cavalry find Spirit and Little Creek, and a chase ensues through the Grand Canyon, where they are trapped by a gorge. Taking a risk, Spirit makes a leap of faith across the gorge. Spirit's bold move amazes the colonel. He humbly accepts defeat and leaves them be. Little Creek returns to the Lakota village with Spirit and finds Rain nursed back to health. Little Creek names the stallion the Spirit who could not be broken. Spirit and Rain are then set loose by Little Creek, bidding them farewell.
Rain should have died.
I mean, she probably should have, but, you know, they didn't
want to
kill all the kids' spirits. Yeah.
Yeah.
They were like, they can't kill the kids' spirits.
You can't kill spirit, but we can kill the kids' spirits.
Because I thought the same thing. I was like, yeah. Rain, as an adult watching the movie, I'm like, Rain should have died. But as a kid, I was always so happy when she came back. And so yeah. I was like, it makes sense why they let her live.
Yeah.
But they depart to Spirit's homeland, where they eventually integrate into Spirit's herd.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Spirit.
I mean, are you talking about, like, based on the damage that was done, or are you talking about, like,
story-wise, I think
yeah. all of the above a little
all
bit.
The thing is, horses can take a hit.
Yeah,
like,
they can. Legs weren't broken, which is usually what causes a horse to die.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that, like, she was shot, a horse can take a shot yeah. and be okay.
Yeah,
it was mostly just that I think for the story more than anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It would have made more sense for him to, like, you know, have to learn, like, you know, some like, you know, a really harsh reality through all of that, but also, you know, it's a kid's movie, you gotta have her live.
I didn't know if you were talking about one or the other.
I was mostly talking about from a story because
I was getting ready to tee off on the actually a small caliber bullet actually wouldn't pierce that thick into a horse's and then just go right into it.
No, but it was funny, though, because
necessary.
This was the first watch of this movie where I noticed her bullet wound, but they had not put any blood because they didn't want to, like, freak the kids out, but
yes.
they sure did put the wound there.
Yeah, I saw that, too, and the horse at that point was made out of cardboard.
I know. I looked at it and I was like, is that like a lightsaber, like little pierce where
it's
already been cauterized? It's good. Like
the bullet was moving so fast, it just cauterized the wound.
Well, I mean, this movie was one of the few actual, like, rated G and not PG movies that DreamWorks had made.
Hmm.
So, like, they wanted to really keep that rating because,
yeah.
like, they specifically said that this is,
kind
like, an
heavy
adventure.
Heavy content for their only G-rated movie.
It's not their only, but
it
was one
yeah.
of their only. And they were like, they specifically wanted this to be for everyone. Everyone can watch it and get something out of it. So I think they were just like, you know, we could have some violence. Let's not. Like, let's kind of take it out of there. Yeah, I noticed that for the first time this time, and I thought it was very funny. But if we were to rename this movie, what would you guys rename Spirit?
What was that one movie about the guy who gets captured by the bad guys? And
Point Break?
Oh, my God. That would have been really funny. Oh, what a missed opportunity. No, actually, what was it? Unbroken?
Yeah. Ooh,
yeah.
I was thinking along the same lines of something along the lines of Untamed, so yeah.
Untamed?
Except that I think Untamed is the subtitle for the terrible show.
So?
and I would hate to take anything from that show.
It's funny, we've never actually watched the show, but we hate it so much. But
we know it's garbage because everything that makes a show out of, like, an old classic movie is
trash. So they made a TV show about Spirit that is set in the modern day, and it's, like, Spirit's, like, descendant stallion.
It's all about Spirit Airlines, and it's
about, like, Spirit's, like, descendant who looks just like him and, like, his fun, like, teenage girl sidekick and whatever, and it's, like, super stupid.
That sounds dumb.
I think it's called, like, Spirit Untamed or something like that, and I'm just like, okay, but he seems very tame, clearly, like.
That's crackhead. Yeah, I'd probably just call it Talking Horses, the movie, featuring Nathan Fillion. Or some dumb...
Featuring Nathan Fillion and Ben Affleck. Wait, what?
I was trying to think of something really stupid, like when he was jumping over the gorge and being like a gorgeous experience with a horse.
Oh my gosh.
And then just jump off of a cliff. Just Unbroken, if we're copying other movie titles.
I think I would just call it, I think I would call it Wings of an Eagle. I think that's what I would call it, because there was actually a whole thing. They ended up taking it out because they were like, that's dumb. But originally they had kind of wanted in that shot of him, like, you know, kind of leaping across the gorge, because
having like wings, because he was talking about wanting to fly.
But not like real wings, obviously, like having it almost just like a thought in his head, like almost like he had them for a moment. And like even in one of the previous like shots at the beginning where he's running with the eagle, the shadow overlaps and it makes him look like he has wings in the shadow, and it's pretty cool. So that's where I'm getting that from. John?
Fast and Furious Wild West Edition.
No!
Oh my gosh, that's incredible. That is incredible.
Fast and the Furious.
John with the names is back.
God, that's funny. That's funny.
Oh my gosh.
But if I were to actually like give like a serious one, I would probably say Running Up River.
Nice. Ooh. I like that. I like that. Well, I've got some positive and negatives here. What do you guys want to hear first?
Still positive first. Positive. I'm excited for the negatives.
Yeah,
okay. We gotta save the best for last.
Okay. Why are the white people bad?
So bad? I have a couple of different positive reviews. One of them is from 2020. One of them is from 2017. They're pretty similar. Which one would you like to hear?
The 2017 one.
Cool. So this is from M. Kessler, and it's just titled A Masterpiece. This film has to be one of the most well-put-together works of art. The first five minutes had me in tears due to the incredible animation and beautiful storyline. I love the art style, and the music by Hans Zimmer was a perfect match for this film. Matt Damon made a truly convincing voice for the bold, strong, independent character of that is Spirit. He is the spirit that cannot be broken. And then she did like a whoa, like at the end. And that's five stars.
That is somebody who loves them some Spirit.
Oh yeah, he or that she.
Is, you can say she spirit. Has Spirit.
That is a horse girl who wrote that.
Very possibly. And then I have two negatives here also, I believe. Well, actually, I'm just gonna go with the one negative because the other one went into all of that stuff that I just don't feel like going into.
What, all the why white people bad?
Yeah, yeah. So,
but that's so funny.
But it's also super long.
Oh yeah.
So that's the main reason. This one still kind of touches on it, but not immensely. So this is this one is actually from JW Family, and this was actually posted in 2003. This is a very old review. And it's titled, Horse's Hero When He Burns Down Forest.
Oh my gosh.
Although there were many things I liked about this movie, the animation and the horses not talking, the personality of Spirit, the drawbacks were more than distracting. Several sections were offensive, such as the scene where Spirit is the hero for killing people and setting the forest on fire when he sabotages a railroad camp. I admire freedom and the spirit that can't be broken, and the Native American way of life, but that doesn't mean we should celebrate destruction even when done by a horse character or villainize all of the American settler heritage. 2 stars.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was like the least of that. All the other ones were like, the one I read to them was literally something along the lines of like, you know, I hate the whole white man is bad, Native American is good, as if my kid isn't going to get enough of that from their so-called social studies teacher.
Well, to be fair, historically speaking, the settlers were far and away not the good guys.
No, they were not.
Yeah. No, they aggressively
they
were not.
Aggressively like came in and, you know, performed several acts of genocide on the Native American people.
Yeah,
so
they did do that.
Forgive the movie for deciding to
it
villainize
was called
them.
The Trail of Tears for a
for
reason.
For a reason.
Wasn't really a fun time for the Native Americans.
No. When you're watching the movie, not Avatar: The Last Airbender, but Avatar, and they're running away all crying and stuff, the Na'vi, are we rooting for the white people at that point?
Yes.
I sure hope not.
Because they look like me.
So stupid.
But yeah, that was most of the negative reviews, was just people being mad about the message, which is the craziest thing to be mad about. But now we get to see how your horse method works out. So what do we think this is going to be rated critically on Rotten Tomatoes out of 100?
All right, let's think about this for a second. It's the horse method. Everything in my life has led up to this moment. There were roughly, I'd say, maybe a dozen horses in Spirit's tribe or conglomerate.
His herd.
His congregation. There's about probably two dozen horses in the stables.
Okay.
So that's what, 36? Yeah, we'll double that and say 72.
Okay. John?
Gonna take an even swing and say 80.
Okay.
I'm gonna say like 79. 79.
You didn't get it exactly, but you are the closest, because it's everybody's favorite number. It is 69.
Gab. It's the horse method, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes it's scary.
And now the audience score out of 100.
I'm sticking close. I think it's probably going to be close together. I'd say maybe like 74.
Okay.
I'm going to go 76.
Okay.
I'll go 1 point lower. I'll say 79.
What?
1 point lower than
lower
what you
than
did.
What you said.
Oh,
before.
I'm like.
Well, Samuel's the closest. It is 77.
Hey. Oh, man.
Very close, though. Very close.
Sugar peas.
And now the IMDb score out of 10. John.
6.7.
Okay.
Christ, 71.
Okay.
Or 7.1.
What?
7.0.
Tyler got it exactly. It's 7.1.
The horse method was on delay this time.
All right. Hold on. Let me actually put this in really quick. I'm trying to keep track of these so I don't have to do it later. Okay. So the budget for this movie, as I said, was not as low as we thought it was going to be, especially not for 2002. Matt Damon got a fat check out of this because the budget was $80 million for this.
Ooh,
box
they
office.
Paid, like, they paid him $75
million. They paid him $75
million. That's incredible.
And the box office was $122.6 million, so it did make a profit. And as far as awards, this was nominated for Best Animated Feature at the Academy Awards in 2002.
As it should have been.
Mm-hmm. It didn't win, but it was nominated because I think it went up against, what was it that you said it went up against?
What won that year?
Because he was just going through all the lists of like who
you know,
won Best Animated.
I should have actually...
We're trying to figure it out.
Lost
yeah.
to... Right. 2002
probably lost
Shrek.
To Shrek.
Okay,
nope,
so
not
it,
Shrek.
Nope.
Spirited Away. Spirited Away.
It lost
away.
To Spirited
yeah.
Away.
Oh,
yeah.
That's fair.
Uh-huh.
That's...
I think it's a little better than Spirit. Even though they tried to get the naming.
They tried
like,
to get the names.
It's like
exactly
the same
right.
thing. Spirited Away, whatever.
Same thing.
Yeah. Spirited Away definitely deserved the Oscar. Because of my, you know, experiences with them, I like Spirit a little more just because, you know, childhood and all that. But Spirited Away definitely
It definitely
deserved, the
deserved
Oscar.
It, yeah.
And also Samuel's just like, I don't watch that anime weeaboo.
Well, to be fair...
I like Spirited
stuff.
Away.
No, me and Sam both really like Spirited Away, but we don't like anime. We like that kind of older style of anime.
You
it's,
guys
it's,
gotta
it's
see
the
Nausicaa.
New stuff that drives us crazy.
You gotta see Nausicaa in the Valley of
the
Wind. It is
you know,
so good.
Like when John shows me Seven Deadly Since trying to introduce me to anime.
No, if you want to get into anime, you guys specifically would really appreciate Death Note, and you would
well,
really
I've actually
like
read
Russell
all of
has
Death
been
Note.
Trying to get me to watch
read,
Death Note for a long time.
You gotta watch
I'd
it.
Probably be down for watching it at some point.
You gotta
at least
watch
trying.
Death Note. You guys would like, and if you want the action, Jujutsu Kaisen.
fantastic. Anyway.
Well, good to know. So I got a few fun facts here. So as y'all might have guessed, real horses were recorded for all the audio. At no time were any human vocalizations used for the horse characters except for Matt Damon.
Yeah,
all of them were actual horse noises. The opening scene, nicknamed the Homeland Pan by the filmmakers, took over 9 months to design.
Wow.
It had a total of 700 background elements and averaged 30 layers of artwork for each frame.
So that's where the budget went.
The budget went there and to Matt Damon. Right. It was to those two things.
What was the budget? 80 million?
80 million.
Yeah. 40 million. No. 35 million to that, 35 million to Matt Damon, and then
$10 million for the rest of the movie. Outstanding. So Tom Hanks and Robert Redford were considered for the narration, along with Matt Damon.
I'm glad they went with Matt Damon, the younger sounding voice, definitely.
For sure, yeah. I think so.
I agree, but I really don't think Matt Damon did a really good job with this.
I agree.
It was very wooden.
I agree.
Especially because Spirit's supposed to be like
he's supposed to be really
fiery. Like, I'm wild and feisty, yeah. And Matt Damon's like, I'm wild and feisty. I have the fire within me because I am a horse. And it's like, what am I listening to?
I think he definitely had the age that they were looking for, Tom Hanks could have killed it, like, performance-wise way better.
Maybe they should have gone with Robert Redford, kind of in the middle.
They get to the train, and then just Spirit just changes from Matt Damon to Tom Hanks. He's like, this is the Polar Express! Like, what? This movie hasn't even come out yet.
Well, the name Cimarron could refer to two things. One, it is the Spanish word for feral horse, or it could be a reference to the name of the Seminole tribe, which I thought was pretty cool.
Feral.
Well, feral horse is what a Mustang is.
Just see Spirit, like, foaming at the mouth. And just,
well, so the last thing I have here is that DreamWorks really did their homework in portraying the horses in a really believable way in regards to their body language and motion of the bodies and their gaits and all that. The only flaw noticed as it pertains to the horses is the portrayal of Rain's markings on both sides, because no horse has completely mirror image symmetrical markings or coloring.
Hmm.
So that was really the only thing. Whenever anyone watched it, they were like, yeah, everything else is like, yeah, you on point. You got it.
Very cool.
So,
alternatively, there is a large area in Oklahoma known as Cimarron and the Cimarron River.
That's what they're saying is because the Seminole tribe that was over there.
Okay.
All right. Was called the Cimarron. That's literally what I said.
Okay, that would make sense.
Samuel just wasn't listening. Obviously, this is going to be more about just, like, general, like, characterization and such. But if we were to recast, how would we recast?
John's the Colonel.
Oh.
Oh, no, John is the blacksmith. Absolutely. You're
Murphy. I was going to make a joke saying I'm the one buffalo in that one scene.
Alternatively, yes, you are the buffalo.
Well, I mean, you could be both. You're the buffalo and Murphy.
Yeah!
Absolutely.
I think Samuel's Spirit.
I think Danielle's Little Creek. Ooh. I think Tyler's Rain.
I was going to say Tyler's the Colonel.
I was going to say myself as Rain. I'm like, yeah, I could play that. I could get those friggin' horse-like bedroom eyes with the eye shadow. I could do it.
See, I was going to say you as the Colonel, and I'm fine being that. Little Creek. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
No, I love that.
Yeah, that fits.
Well, what would be the drinking game for this? At least three rules.
Every time the horse speaks...
So anytime Matt Damon talks,
anytime a Bryan Adams song plays,
okay,
okay,
anytime the eagle shows up,
mm-hmm.
Anytime he bucks someone off,
oh Lord, that's gonna be a lot.
anytime they pull out a gun,
oh, okay, anytime there's a gun. I feel like there's one.
I think everyone's dead now at that point.
Everyone's dead. Oh my gosh. Oh, anytime he sees horses where there aren't horses. Because sometimes there's like cloud shapes that look like horses. There's horses in the snow.
Anytime the domesticated horses look up like, oh, wow.
It's the wild one.
We have hope.
It's the Messiah.
Yeah.
He's the Jesus character. So, favorite and least favorite moments from this one.
My favorite is probably I mean, probably the whole chase at the end when they're chasing him for the last time. Mm-hmm. I love that whole scene. And then my least favorite would have to be... I don't know that I have a least favorite part. I can't... there's nothing that, like, I can think of that I don't like.
There's nothing that's, like, aggressively, like, you know, against the story or against, like, you know, what the characters would have done. The only thing that I guess I would say is my least favorite, and again, it's not even, like, bad, is the fact that I do think story-wise, Rain should have died.
Yeah.
So I guess her coming back would be my least favorite, but again, like, it's not even, like, bad that she came back.
Yeah.
My favorites... Oh, Lord, there's so many favorites. I do love that chase scene, but I'm not gonna, honestly, I think it's just the moment right after the colonel and his soldiers walk away, and they just unapologetically just, like, jump around and, like, celebrate the fact that, like, have they won forever? No, but they won this one thing, and they're gonna be excited about it because they completely just risked their lives and could have died, and that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And even as a kid, I, like, That scene is what sort of got me, like, to the point where I, like, celebrate as much as I do with, like, really small victories.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I just, I love that moment a lot, so that would be my favorite.
Okay, my least favorite would definitely be, because it's not like I didn't actively dislike anything or go, oh, I don't like that, I don't enjoy this. But my least favorite would be all the scenes of them just running. Because it's just like, that's nice.
See, I love those.
That's
love
very the nice.
Of,
there they
of
go.
Them just running.
My favorite scene was when Little Creek.
Amber Alert.
My favorite scene was when Little Creek. You know, you can disable those. I didn't know that until, like, a long time ago. My favorite Creek was when Little Creek. My favorite moment was when Little Creek was talking about how phones work. When he started training and talking with Spirit and trying to work with him, and it was the first time a human, like, showed compassion towards the horse. I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I'd say probably my favorite part is the crossing the multiple scenery and just a black screen for, like, every other lightning flash while they're crossing the desert.
Mm-hmm.
Just aesthetically, I'm like, okay.
It's a gorgeous shot.
With the music and everything, I'm like, this is a pretty dope shot. I will say my least favorite part is I think they spent too much time on Spirit being born a little bit.
I feel like that could have been... Tyler left the room for that, which it's not even that much time. But, I mean, that's your opinion.
That's the thing for me.
You had to go to the bathroom right at the beginning.
Oh. It may have not... been a very long moment, but it felt like a long moment, and that was my issue with it.
That's right, because I came back.
You came in and he was just, like, there, like,
well,
yeah.
He was there and he was
nursing.
That's the word. That's the non-disgusting word that I all of the words that I was going to use were absolutely unacceptable. I'm like, what am I trying to say?
Because you missed Spirit being born, which they don't do it graphically or anything.
No.
But
you see her, like, on her side, kind of, like, you know, panting, and, like, you see him kind of, like, emerge from, like, a little ways off.
Outstanding.
You know?
That would
not like
scene.
Milo and Otis, where they literally show a cat giving birth in the movie multiple times.
That sounds horrible. it was really funny though, because I come into the scene of Spirit nursing, and I didn't know if the horse was a boy horse or a girl horse, and then I just see Spirit with all the milk, like, dripping out of his mouth, and I'm like,
no, definitely his mother.
I got such a kick out of that.
Definitely his mother, and that
it's
was
like,
milk.
And this is rated what?
Definitely his
mother. Goodness me.
I knew when you missed the birth that when that scene came up or when that moment came up, you were going to be like, bro, what? So I didn't say
I
anything. I wanted you to just
that
react as you
funny.
Would. Yeah. So now let's say out of 10 eagles, what would you rate Spirit?
I would give it like a solid 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
Solid. Recognizing that it has, you know, some clunky stuff and it's not the best movie ever, it's not for everyone, but I really enjoy it.
I would give it, and again, 5 is like perfectly middle of the road. I'd say it's like a 6.
Okay.
6 out of 10. Enjoyable, probably wouldn't watch it again. Definitely something I would show my kids.
Oh, absolutely.
Whenever I have kids, 100% we'll show them this.
We will loan you the DVD. Just don't let them break it.
Yeah, no questions asked. This is definitely going something for the kids. And if I had watched it earlier, I'd probably be speaking much higher of it, just like I do with Incredibles, even though that movie is perfect.
John?
So, for me, it's weird. From what I remember of the movie, it was fine. I don't know. It's weird. Kind of growing up, it was like, oh, it was a great movie, but it didn't hold up like some, like, you know, like Incredibles or like Monsters Incorporated did for me. So for that, it wasn't a bad movie. And honestly, the hand-drawn portions of the film, like, really did a lot for me. I just, the landscape drawings were beautiful.
So for that, I'm going to give it a solid 7.7.
Okay.
7.7 Eagles.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be somewhere around Samuel. Probably, I mean, I'll go a little higher, but not obscenely higher. I'll probably go with like an 8.5 because I do see that, like, you know, it isn't for everyone. And, like, you know, there are, like Sam said, some clunky things and, you know, this, that, and the other. And some things that are sometimes a little too on the nose, but also that makes sense when it's, you know, a kids movie and you're trying to, like, give these concepts with no words to these kids, you know? So I acknowledge all of that, so I can't give it, like, a perfect score, but I do really, really enjoy this movie. And even as an adult watching it last night, I was just, I think Sam saw me. I had just, like, a big smile on my face while I was watching it, because I was like, this is just fun, but also, like, It has poignant, like, meaning, and it's this, like, you know, larger allegory for everything that was going on, and there's a lot in this movie that is really, really good, so I can't give it anything lower than an 8.5 and feel good, but I also can't give it anything higher because I do acknowledge it's, like, you know, it's sort of, I guess, lesser qualities and attributes and those kinds of things.
To that point, it was really... like, endearing to look over during the get off of my back scene and just see you both, like, yee! Like, like, both of you had, like, these big grins on your faces that you could just tell it was, like, really tapping into some nostalgia, and that was cool. That was a nice moment.
Being able to revisit a movie that you loved as a kid and not be just cringed out, because, right, like, you know, there are some movies that I rewatch as an adult and I'm like, wow. Like Catch That Kid, cringe. That is a cringe movie. And but I loved it so much. And then there was things like, there are so many elements of, like, Spy Kids, for instance, that you rewatch it and you're like, there's some good stuff in here, but also, wow.
That's just, like, incorrect. I'm sorry. It's crazy. Spy Kids is a masterpiece.
Spy Kids is great.
And the Mike Myers Cat in the Hat is a Western.
We'll talk about that after the episode. It has
all the trappings of a Western, and we'll talk about it.
We'll talk about that after the episode. But yeah, if there's nothing else that you guys have to say, I'll play us out.
Yeah, I think so. Watch it if you feel like watching it.
Yes, absolutely. This is a great movie to show your kids. If you're not like a lot of these negative reviewers and you know, want your kids to be exposed to, you know, American history in a way that's not insanely violent but also not lying, this is a really good kind of, like, easing your way into that. Also, if your kids love animals, if your kids, you know, just love that kind of thing, this is perfect. Like, absolutely sit down, watch it. Even if you're an adult, I think you can enjoy it. Just like Tyler, you may not absolutely love it.
Yeah, and also for those who did negatively review this and are listening to this, know that American exceptionalism is dumb and extremely toxic, and it's going to get you in trouble.
And that is Tyler's TED Talk of the day.
Yes. I'm very passionate about it.
But thank you guys for listening. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Mad Artists Entertainment or on Twitter at @artists_mad. Please check us out on Twitch every Tuesday night. We're doing Call of the Nether Deep at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
It's really good.
Everything kind of hit the fan this last week, and we don't know what's happening anymore. Yes. It's crazy talk, like, characters are things are happening, so y'all really need to check it out. It's gonna be a really awesome story. If you've missed all the episodes prior, you can listen to the episodes on our podcast channel for it, which is called Dice Box, one word, just like Banner Box. Or on our YouTube channel, you can just search Mad Artists Entertainment and you will find it on a playlist. Please leave us a review wherever you're listening. If you have any comments, questions, corrections, or requests that you want us to review in the future, you can shoot a message to our social media or email us at banterbox.madartists@gmail.com.